Hi, this is Skip Bayless, and thank you for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I just posted a personal story on my Facebook page. If you want to know what I'm really all about, what makes me tick, what made me, you should read what I wrote about my upbringing. You should read about how I succeeded in spite of a mean-spirited drunk of a father and a mother who was too interested in herself to ever be much interested in me. You should read about my athletic achievements and my chokes. You'll find my story on my Facebook page. And now, let's get the show started.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Good morning. Welcome to Undisputed. We are live from LA. I'm Jenny Taft here with Skip Bayless, Shannon Sharp. Good morning, guys.
Hi, Jenny. How are you?
Good. How you doing, Jenny?
Yeah.
How was your holidays, Jenny?
Yeah. Great. Missed you guys yesterday.
So, that's the way you're in the crumble. Yep.
Yeah. So, Shannon, you know, I had so much to remember for Christmas. Did we talk about how the Cowboys won the NFC East? I can't remember. Did we talk about that?
Skip, ain't nobody played no football yesterday.
It wasn't really a big deal because they have much bigger gifts to open in the playoffs, actually. So we shouldn't talk about it now. Let's just leave it be, and we'll talk about it in a week or so.
What do you want to talk about?
They are in the playoffs, though. I just wanted to bring that up.
They are.
Oh, yep.
They'll have a cup of coffee in the playoffs.
Cup of coffee. Yeah, they're going to have cases of Diet Dew all through the playoffs, Jenny. All the way maybe to Atlanta.
Unfortunately, I'll only be able to get a couple of cases back.
Oh, really?
I won't be able to bet as they go further.
Well, we'll see.
How you doing, Skip?
That's
the way you end the Christmas.
Yeah.
Christmas for the end.
One day away from you, and we pick up right where we left off. We have a lot to get to on today's show. Like Tom Brady, is he using the injury excuse? Possibly.
What are we talking
about? Speaking of having a cup of coffee in the playoffs, is Dak holding the Cowboys back? We'll get there, but let's start with the Lakers. They blew out the Warriors by 26 at Oracle last night. In the third quarter, LeBron slipped trying to control a loose ball and grabbed his groin in pain. He left the game, did not return. But the Lakers' role players stepped up without him. The Warriors cut the lead to 2 late in the third, but then Rajon Rondo took over and the Lakers pulled away. LeBron will have an MRI today, but let's take a listen to what he said after the game about his injury.
With me with injuries, I'm never too concerned about them. You know, I was able to walk off on my own power. You know, I felt the pop and, see if I could stretch it a few times to see if it'll relieve, but it didn't. It's pretty rare for me to have an injury, period. I don't know, it happens, and we got a great medical staff here. I got a great trainer, and we get to it.
All right, Shannon. Were you surprised by the Lakers win?
I was. I was surprised by how well they played with LeBron in the ball game to get that big of a lead. I was shocked, absolutely shocked, that they were able not only to maintain that lead, but to expand upon it once LeBron James left. I think it showed last, for me, Skip, and you and I both, like, why would they sign Rondo? If you believe Lonzo is the guy, why would you sign a guy of Rondo's ilk, knowing that, and you said that the job is open for, you know, hey, this job is not going to be bestowed upon Lonzo, so Rondo, if you come in. Last night, it crystallized for me. This is why they signed Rondo. You see, Skip, I think Lonzo Ball does a great job of running the offense. He can get the ball off. He can push the pace. But I think where he struggles is running the offense in the half court set. The thing that Rajon Rondo can do is that in the half court set or push tempo, he can do both. Skip, he's a soothing, he's a very calming effect. And if you look at the way he controls the tempo, almost like a LeBron James. You see, I want you over here. I want you over that. Getting into the paint. Dishing off the Zubats. Oh, Big Z! Big Z! Yeah. I got me a big man now. It's going to be very interesting.
So you're off the JaVale bandwagon?
No. Okay. I'm not off it. JaVale's still going to be there. But Skip, it's going to be hard. The man's giving us 18, 19, double-digit rebounds. He's unafraid, and he's a true back-to-the-basket player, Skip. He's not out there trying to, you know, shoot threes. He's a and he's punishing. Put Draymond on him. I'm going to the basket. Put KD, I'm going to back you down. I'm going to turn on my right shoulder. I'm going to lay it in the basket. Skip, I was surprised. This is unbelievable. But this is also what frustrates you about the Lakers. Because a team that goes and beats the back-to-back champs on their home court by 27, You're not supposed to lose to Orlando twice. Nope. You're not supposed to lose at home to Memphis. This is what
that was just Sunday night.
Just Sunday night, Skip. Yeah. And but you the young guys played well. They played really well. Brandon Ingram was unafraid of Kevin.
Oh, now you're back on that bandwagon.
Oh, Lord,
you got lots of bandwagons rolling.
Oh my goodness. Huh? You gonna let me finish?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
I'm just curious.
Brandon Ingram was unafraid. He got in a little foul trouble, but he was putting the ball on the floor trying to get to the rim against KD. He's like, I'm not afraid of you, KD.
He was not.
I know what you represent offensively, and I know, hey, you say you want to win the defensive player of the year in basketball.
Yep.
But bro, I'm gonna challenge you. Kyle Kuzma, we've been known Kyle Kuzma is unafraid. Josh Hart is unafraid. Those guys stepped up and played well. But, Skip, the question that I have for you, I just need to know, when LeBron James left this game and they cut that lead to two, why didn't the NBA's best player, he's got to close that game out. He's got to finish this game. You tell me that Kevin Durant's the NBA's best player. I just need to know at home, with no LeBron James, why didn't he do that? This is not your turn yet. I'm just asking you.
I was poised to leave.
No, you were poised. Skip, the thing, and to make a long story short.
This is a long story because I'm afraid our show's going to end before I get to speak.
Skip, right? Look, when LeBron James went out, I watched a couple of more minutes, I turned. I like it because Steph hit back-to-back threes and the haircut KD, and I'm like, man, I knew it. The Golden State got to be the luckiest old foes ever. Because think about it, Skip. The first championship, Kevin Love and Kyrie, they're injured. And then Chris Paul gets injured. And then I was like, oh, man, how lucky can they be? We had them. But them young guns said, Shane, we got them. Oh, Lance Stevens are coming that third quarter.
I did like that.
Oh, Christmas Carol on them. I love that. I love that, Skip Bayless. So I was surprised that they won the game in the fashion in which they won the game. But it just shows what they're made of. I'm interested to see Thursday night, though, so I'm not going to get my expectations and my hopes up too high.
Interesting. So now to what really happened last night in the game that I watched. But let's start with the start, which is LeBron's injury. I must say, I was shocked over this injury. This is Iron Man. This is the man I always tell you is the most durable superstar in sports history. It's not even close. You can't find anybody who does what he does at that high of level, taking that much contact night after night after night after night. He's played 116
for 16 years.
For 16 years, and just the minutes are just off the charts everywhere. He obviously played every game last year and led the NBA in minutes played. It's been cut back some this year, but it's just a lot of wear and tear on that body,
and
he does not get hurt. And I'm going to knock on wood when I say that because I don't even like to bring this up for any human being. I don't want to jinx him, but he's had no knees, no shoulders, no Achilles, no big nothing, right?
Correct.
And to pull a muscle was shocking to me because I don't even remember any real muscle pulls. Everybody, you know, Chris Paul's got hamstrings.
Stays with worse, hamstring injury.
Worse than Sean Lee's hamstring. And everybody gets calf pulls and all kinds of quad pulls, and everybody's got banged up shoulders and backs. LeBron's had a little bit of back discomfort he's had to deal with, and he did, going back to 2015? 20,
when he first went back.
He had to take 2 weeks off, and he went back to Miami, maybe get a new supply of vibranium.
Don't do that, Skip.
I don't know what it was.
Don't try to plant that seed.
Okay, don't even worry about that. But let's get back to last night. That was a shocking development for LeBron James. I don't know if it's a sign as he approaches age 34, which is, when is it?
Sunday.
December 30th, 1984. So he's almost 34 years of age, and it seems like in NBA years, like dog years, he's like 64, right? Because he's been playing for a long time at a high level and a whole lot of NBA finals.
And will continue.
Okay, and let's hope he does continue. But for him to pull a groin was shocking to me, and then we got a mixed message after the game because he said, I heard something pop. You heard something pop? Can I bring it back to my Dallas Cowboys for just a moment? Because I thought Tavon Austin was going to be a difference maker this year, and you realize he's missed the last 9 games with a torn groin.
Yeah.
If you pop, tear it, it's bad. You know this, man.
Yes.
And once you tear that one, it's almost akin to the hamstring tear where it pretty much shuts you down, right?
Yep.
So Tavon Austin has missed what are we up to? 2 months and a week.
Yes.
That's what it's really getting like 2.5 months now that he has missed with a torn groin, and they say he's starting to practice a little bit. But anyway, is it torn? Well, then LeBron mixed the message by saying, but the muscle is intact. And I'm not sure how you know right after the game the muscle's intact,
right?
Because you can x-ray it, but it won't show 3D on the muscle. You need an MRI today, which you said, okay? So I don't know if they did a hands-on exam and said, well, it feels like it's intact and you can't feel a tear in it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But for their sake, obviously they need him going forward, because this Western Conference is crazy log-jammed right now. You've got 10 teams, which I believe at this point in the year is a record. 10 teams are over 500.
Right.
So the Lakers right now, as we stand, they're only 2.5 games out of first place in the West. They're also only 2.5 games ahead of the 10th seed, 10, and only 8 make the playoffs, and that would be Memphis, who beat them at home.
Correct.
Okay? So that will be very interesting to get the outcome of this, but I'm going to guess, because he's Iron Man, I'm going to guess it's going to be okay. I'll also guess he won't play at Sacramento, that they'll give it maybe a week or so.
Well, Skip, you understand with groins, these things will linger. So you probably take a 2-3 extra games to make sure it's healed.
I would agree on any other mortal, but this guy is different to me. And again, he may want to play. I don't know if he cares about that streak of 116 games. I don't know. But I can't imagine him playing at Sacramento.
No.
And after that, I'm with you. Shouldn't you take a week? So, now, back to the gratuitous shot you took at Kevin Durant.
I didn't take no shot.
Yeah, you did. Unwarranted shot at why didn't he close the game?
What would you tell me?
Okay, so what did Kevin Durant do last night? Well,
not much of anything.
He did lead them in assists. He led them in rebounds.
Is that what he's there for?
And he would have led them in points scored, because he scored 21, except for Andre Iguodala's 23, which were a season high by 8 points. So if they hadn't had that last night, it would have been destruction and devastation, right? It would have been over at halftime. So KD hit a huge three to spark the big surge in the third quarter, and he made 3 out of 4 shots in the third quarter to sort of fuel that rally.
Yes, yes.
As they cut it all the way to 2 points. And then Steve Kerr, near the end of the third quarter, took him out and rested him for the first 3 minutes of the fourth quarter. And by the time he came back in, they were down 17. And you're holding his feet to the fire, saying he should have brought them back from 17 down?
Whoa. No. They cut it to 2. Mm-hmm. With under 3 minutes to go, and he was still in the ballgame.
Okay.
Okay, so why didn't he close that out?
Okay, but pretty soon he goes to the bench for his usual rest, and I don't know why, because if I'm Steve Kerr and I'm thinking, do you realize this team has lost 4 games at home this year?
Yeah.
They've lost by 23 to Milwaukee, 28 to Oklahoma City, 20 to Toronto, and last night they were trailed by as many as 31 late in this game and lost by 26.
Hold on.
Have you ever heard of that?
If
I'm Steve Kerr, I'm saying, I don't want this to happen again. I'm going to leave Kevin in there. I'm just going to let him play through the end of the third quarter.
But I'm trying to figure. I'm glad you make that point, because I totally forgot about that. They had lost 4 games, Jenny.
Yeah.
All over them by at least 20 points.
At least 20.
How are you doing that if you got the best player in the NBA on your roster?
This little thing happened a while back between Draymond Green and Kevin Durant, and I continue to insist it's lingering.
Oh!
It's tearing apart this locker room, because I don't know if you've noticed, but since that incident, Draymond Green is a shell of himself. He looks like he can't play anymore. He won't even try a 3. He has to look around like, should I?
Yeah,
should I
really shoot this? Too.
Should I do this? Oh, maybe I should. He was 0-for-3 from 3. And if you looked at his numbers lately, they're just plummeting. He's 22% from 3. Mm-hmm. That's their glue, right? That's their guts.
Right.
Well, you take him away, you're going to have some problems. And by the way, speaking of slumps, has Klay Thompson ever been in a bigger slump than he's in right now?
No.
Because he had the one aberration game this year.
14-3.
He scored 52 points at Chicago on 14 threes. Otherwise, he's shooting a career-low 34% from 3, and he was very quiet last night. Was he not?
He was very quiet, Skip. Okay. But if you look...
I haven't finished
yet. Go ahead.
I haven't finished because you took that shot at Kevin Durant.
Wow, what shot did I take?
The best player in the NBA. So let's look at Steph Curry on Christmas Day. Would you believe his Christmas Day record is now 3-4? And guess what he averages on Christmas Day?
He has yet to score 20, right?
He averages 12 points a game. Guess what he shoots on Christmas Day? That's seven games. That's a pretty good sample size. He's shooting 29% from the field and 21% from three.
Wow.
This is a guy who's shooting 46% from three this year, for the whole year. Mm-hmm. And he's shooting 21% in Christmas Day games? Yeah. Big stage. What happens in the playoffs to Steph Curry? I know his numbers aren't that far off, but it seems like he's a little quieter in the big games, right?
Are you taking a shot at Steph Curry? Because I'm not going to let you do that.
Last night he was 5 for 17. He was 2 for 8 from 3. And I'm just saying he scored a grand total of 15 points, but you're hanging it all on Kevin Durant, who I thought was pretty good last night.
You would think
Was Kevin Durant not the best player on the floor for the Warriors last night? I know that's not saying that much.
The Warriors weren't playing the Warriors.
Oh.
The Warriors were playing the Los Angeles Lakers. Okay. And the best player on the court is unquestioned. Huh. And he's always been. But Kevin Durant was 5 of 13. He was 3 of 8.
Hmm.
He was a minus 11.
What did he do from the free throw line, Kevin Durant, last night?
Well, he should have went to the free throw line 27 more times and made them all.
What did he make?
He made them all.
8 for 8.
And then
LeBron James, by the way, last night was 5 of 8, so he has plummeted to 68% for the year.
If you don't mind me asking.
We do have a little bet on 80%.
No,
that's okay. That's okay. I'm not going to bring that up today because it's a day after Christmas. Yeah. I'm not going to say we have a bet on 80%.
We do.
Okay.
What about the 27-point loss? Mm. Now, I'm trying to figure out. Hold on. No, this is just my turn now because you try to stall me out.
I just told you, this is a troubled basketball
team. No, I got it.
I thought I would see Unk this morning.
Oh, no, Jesus.
I thought I would see Black and Mild. I would see Hennessy. You know what? The door in the Western Conference isn't just cracked right now. It is wide open.
You see?
The Western Conference door is wide open.
You should be celebrating.
You should have planned a parade in downtown Los Angeles today.
I knew Skip Bayless, the moment the Lakers won this ball game, would say, now the King has no excuse.
There is no more excuse. The King has a new realm. It's the Western Conference.
If you don't mind me asking.
You can rule. You can reign.
If you don't mind me asking, when Toronto or Milwaukee beat them by 20 points, did you say they have no excuses why they shouldn't win the NBA Finals?
Beat who by 20 points?
They beat the Golden State Warriors at home. Did you say Milwaukee has no excuses? Toronto has no excuses why they should not win the NBA title.
No, but they don't have LeBron James. They don't have the best player on the planet, quote unquote.
I'm trying to figure out. You keep telling me. Now, Kevin Durant, 2 weeks ago, I think there's something that when you talk about LeBron is toxic.
Mm-hmm.
How would it ever get toxic when LeBron James is not on the Golden State? Why is it toxic? For Golden State, Skip Bayless? Why? What's going on? I'm missing something.
Well, you said, in all of your wisdom, the team leader that you were, you said that once you cross that bridge going B-word on Draymond on KD on the bench, you can't uncross that bridge.
But nobody looked at me like that.
Huh?
Nobody would have ever uttered those words to
me. No one ever would have even thought it. In the back of their mind, they wouldn't even thought, should I or shouldn't it? No, that wouldn't even come to should
exactly.
I.
Exactly.
Nobody would have. And that teammate said that to that guy.
Yeah. He basically said,
we don't need you, right?
Skip, people will call you what they think you are or what they think they can get away with.
Okay.
Draymond uttered those words to him because that's what he thinks about KD in his private moments. And he knew.
Even though you told the story that he went in the parking lot crying.
He did.
He said, we need you.
He did. Yep. And he came there. He said, see, I knew you was a. Basically called him a garden utensil, and I ain't talking about a rake, Jenny. That's what he called it. That's what he called him, Skip.
He did. So, let's get back to the Lakers, and who are they? Well, again, as much as I love Lonzo Ball, I got to give it up, because that was a big stage last night. It was a big NBA stage all day, but it got the biggest at 8 o'clock Eastern time, right?
Yep.
LeBron.
And that was at Golden State, defending champs, and who took that game over in the second half?
Rondo.
Rondo took the game over. He scored 13 with 5 assists just in the second half.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything quite like it. That was playoff Rondo.
Vintage.
The littlest man on the floor played the biggest, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And those shots, like when they cut it to 2, this is 2:27 left in the third quarter. If we could see that shot he made, this is the cold-blooded 3 he shot. Watch this play Rondo makes. Here we go. This is Rondo. Watch the shot. Tell me this is not. No, that wasn't it. That's not the one I was thinking of. He shot the hook shot.
Yes. High off the glass.
High off the glass.
Yes, yes. I remember exactly what you're talking about.
Do we have that one?
No, this is the same one.
Okay, this is the one where they're up two. This is the one where they're up two, and he just makes a driving layup. So that put them up four.
Right.
And then to your point, a couple of minutes pass, and then Lance, of all people, comes in off the bench, and he strums home a shot. He strums home a shot, and it felt like a dagger at that point.
Yes.
It did.
Because
it
you go
put
from
him back
six
up
to
nine.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
And then we just saw the Rondo shot. There's the Lance shot. And then early in the third, while Kevin Durant is sitting watching, they dare Rondo to shoot a three. And was that not cold-blooded? Because that was the dagger to me. Because that put them up 17. And I'm like, what? Rondo made that shot? They're just daring him. Oh, go ahead, Rondo. You got this. Yeah, you got this.
You ain't want to talk about my boy Zubats.
Mm. Yeah.
Old Big Zoo.
Big Zoo. Great. Well, now you've got a three-headed monster at center. You got Tyson Chandler, who has changed their whole culture on defense. Mm-hmm. They are a different defensive team when he is on the floor. In fact, do you realize I saw a second-level stat yesterday? I think it was on ESPN.com. They lead the league in defense with Tyson on the floor.
Yes.
While he's on in with the points allowed per 100 possessions. I know that's way deep second level.
The best defensive team last night was the Lakers.
Well, it was.
Because what Golden State, we know they can make shots. They got three of the top 10 shooters of all time on their roster, so we know they're going to make shots.
Yep.
But what they can also do is play defense. If you look at the Lakers last night, Skip, normally is that Golden State swings the ball, they get a shot.
Yep.
They were swinging the ball two, three times.
Yep.
Kuzma, Ingram, Josh Hart, they were closing out. Mm-hmm. They were closing out on multiple occasions. On the flip side, Golden State was normally the team that can rotate multiple times. The Lakers swing the ball one time, and Caldwell Pope was getting a wide open shot. Ingram was getting a wide open shot. Mm. Kuzma getting wide open shots. And I'm like, that's the difference in this team. Because, Skip, they still can score. Yes, they're in a bit of a shooting slump. Yes, Klay Thompson is in a shooting slump. But KD is still averaging 29. Steph is averaging 28. Klay is still around 21. Draymond is in the slump. No question about that, Skip.
So the question is, are they just waiting for springtime? Or are they waiting for January and DeMarcus Cousins? Because he says he's right on track.
Well, he looks like he's on track. I saw the video. He dunked on KD. He dunked on KD.
Okay, so is that going to change life in Golden State?
It will. I mean, but they got the thing is what you have to do to him, Skip. You got to punish him on the glass. The Lakers punished him on the glass. They had no – I mean, if somebody would have told you, say, Skip, Zubats is going to give you 18. He's going to give you 18, 19 points. He's going to give you 10, 11 rebounds.
Yep.
You're like, win in two games? But the thing was is that Draymond is undersized to try to play the five. And the guy knows who
he's never been an issue before. I mean, till now.
But here's the
thing. Now you're starting to pick him apart saying, ooh, he's only, what is he, 6'6"?
But see, you got to punish him. A lot of guys, they try to stay outside and shoot threes over Draymond, and you play into his hand. Mm-hmm. They put Kevin Durant on him. He just went right down inside, boop, turn over the right shoulder, layup or dunk. He played unbelievable, Skip, and they got a dilemma coming. So do you stay with him? Because he can score, and he will play defense, Skip. He's challenging people. Remember, he challenged Anthony Davis at the rim.
You're talking about Zubats.
Zubats. Uh-huh. He challenged McKinney last night at the rim. He will challenge you, plus he gives you 10, 12 points on the other end. You can run plays for him. You don't run other plays for McGee. You don't run plays for Tyson Chandler. Skip, they get crumbs off the rim. They get alley-oops. They get putbacks. This guy, you can dump it down to him in the post, and he can turn over either shoulder and give you buckets.
You know, I got to say about those Euro kids, he's 21 years old. Does he look afraid to you?
Nope.
No. Does he look highly skilled, highly trained?
Yeah, he does.
He taught the right way?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's those Euro kids. Yeah. They come in, even Doncic, you know, he just knows how to play, and they're not afraid of them. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah, they're not afraid. I get all that. But let's talk about KD and why he didn't close that game. Now, because if that's LeBron James, if KD goes out, and they're down by 2 points with 3 minutes left in the third quarter. Skip, I know you. I know you, Skip Bayless. I know you like the back of my hand. It's just been on my body for 50 years. Mm. You would not have. I want that energy. Mm. I want the energy that you'd have had for LeBron. I need that energy for KD right now.
Well, I was going to bring up about LeBron that the only time I've ever remembered that he was hurt was after last year's finals when he wore the soft cast in the post game. Do you remember that? And I'm thinking, wait a minute. He's supposed to have a broken hand because he hit the chalkboard after game one when quit on his team.
Be careful.
Right?
Be careful.
And I'm saying broken hand.
We got to.
Yeah, and if you believe that, you believe Cleveland is in California, right? That's what you believe, right?
There is a Cleveland, Tennessee. But anyway.
Tennessee, not California.
Now, we got a segment coming up. Now, be careful about injuries.
We're going to talk about a guy. I'm going to bring it right back up. I'm going to bring it right back up when we talk about the quote-unquote injury suffered by one Tom Brady.
Okay.
Let's do it. We don't need a commercial. Let's just do it right now.
I'm not going to Brady yet. First, we're going to tell you a little something that Troy Aikman has been saying about Dak Prescott. Skip might not like where we're going with this one. We'll tell you next. No mercy. The Cowboys clinched the NFC East on Sunday, and Dak Prescott went 20 for 25 with a touchdown pass. But before the game, Troy Aikman and Jimmy Johnson had some interesting things to say about Dak and his accuracy on Fox NFL Sunday. Let's take a listen.
As much as I like Prescott, you know, at times he is inconsistent as far as his accuracies. And I want to ask Troy this, you know, can you improve accuracy?
Well, Jimmy, I believe you either have it or you don't. I think that you can do some things within your footwork in order to improve your accuracy. But we see a lot of guys, Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre over the years, you know, guys who are off balance and are still able to put the ball where they want to. I think as it relates to Dak Prescott, in addition, he's always going to have some issues, relatively speaking, with accuracy. But the biggest thing that I see with him right now is there's not a lot of anticipation in terms of getting the ball out. And if you get the ball out sooner, then you can be a little bit more inaccurate with some of those throws because the ball is going to be on the receivers a little bit sooner and they can make those adjustments. So I think this is still a bit of a work in progress for him, but you know, we'll see how he's able to finish up this season, and they're going to need him to play his best football you know, here going forward for sure.
All right, Shannon, what do those comments say about Dak?
Because here's the thing. Now, I'm a guy. Sometimes, Jenny, I have to offer a critique or analysis of a player. And the gentleman immediately across from me tells me I'm jealous, I'm envious, I had to hang him up a little early, I didn't get an opportunity to do certain things in my career. So
that's concerning Tom Brady, not Dak Prescott.
Skip, I didn't ask you a question. No. Why are you interrupting me?
Just go.
Okay, thank you. And so I think Troy might be a little envious of Dak because he didn't win Rookie of the Year. Troy got benched. I'm joking.
I think you're joking because he's not. Trust me, he's not.
So
Troy is in that thing that you're in, that what's it called?
Yeah, the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah, the Hall of Fame.
Oh,
yeah.
So when I offer a critique of Dak Prescott, I say the inaccuracy. I'm jealous. I'm a Cowboy hater.
That you're doing apples and oranges.
Okay,
we're talking about Brady's longevity, right?
No.
He's 41 and he's still playing.
But you tell me when I give Dak harsh grades, that's just
Cowboy hate.
See?
You are a Cowboy hater.
So
that's okay.
Skip, the thing is that I've said that he's been accurate. I said he holds on to the ball too long. But in the process of what have happened is people like you in Pro Football Focus looks at throwaways as a negative. See, Aaron Rodgers get docked. Oh, he's throwing the ball away.
At a record pace.
Yeah.
Shattering record.
Okay. Guess what? Did you know this? Dak Prescott is the second most sacked quarterback in all of football.
To Deshaun Watson.
Now, we know mobile quarterbacks are sacked an awful lot. Michael Vick got sacked a lot. Randall Cunningham got sacked a lot. Early in his career, Steve Young, because while they're running themselves out of pressure on the backside, they run themselves into pressure on the front side.
Sometimes.
So they run themselves into some sacks. You know, Skip, the thing is he holds on to the ball entirely too long, and he's inaccurate. What's hard for me to understand is why is a guy the second most sacked quarterback in all of football when he has two Pro Bowl offensive linemen? And his accuracy, it should not be like this considering he has the NFL's leading rusher in his backfield. And they've gone out and gotten him Amari Cooper. So guys should be wide open. But
quick point of order. We got to be fair here. Both those Pro Bowlers have been hurt much of the year. Zach Martin was hurt in the preseason and has played hurt the whole year and then had to miss a game because he's hurt. And I don't know how Ty Smith even stays in the lineup. He's got elbow and back. He probably – he's become somewhat of a liability. He's had, what, 10 holding penalties this year? So don't put that on me.
Yeah. Are they in the Pro Bowl?
I don't know how. You know how that goes.
Oh!
Reputation.
Oh, so I know a guy that went to the Pro Bowl. I'm glad you said that. Mm-hmm. Oh, reputation. I know I get you to say it.
Aaron Rodgers.
I love you, Skip. I love you like a cousin.
Russell Wilson should have been over Aaron Rodgers. We know that.
Don't do that, Skip Bayless. That's so unbecoming of you. Yeah. Look, there's a big concern, Skip, his accuracy. And he doesn't, as Troy said, he doesn't have the greatest anticipatory skills. Mm-hmm. And a lot of time, you know, you have to throw in anticipation because if you wait till a guy get open and you throw the ball, more times than not, the DB will have recovered and he gets an opportunity to make a play on the ball. Mm-hmm. But given that he has Zeke, who's leading the NFL in rushing, and he has Amari Cooper, his accuracy should be better than what it is. But what's misleading, but if you look at that, he's eighth in completion percentage. And what's misleading about that, Skip, is that all those throws are 10 yards and under because he's 23rd in completion percentage when the ball has to travel 10 yards or more. Mm. You see, he's 77% 10 and under. Mm. So when he's swinging the ball out of the backfield of Zeke or Rod Smith or he's throwing it to Cole Beasley on those option routes, the completion percentage shoots up.
Do those count? Are those against the rules?
Yes.
Oh.
But what they do to you, they allow you to possess the ball, but they don't allow you. That's why you're 24th in scoring, because you don't get those big chunk plays.
Well, then why does Aaron Rodgers have even a worse yards per attempt than Dak Prescott this year?
What you mean, worse?
He just worse. It's worse.
I tell you what he does. Slower. He has a higher touchdown and fewer interceptions than Dak Prescott.
Who won the NFC East this year?
Oh, Lord.
Well, who did?
That terrible division.
Yeah. Is Green Bay going to make the playoffs?
That terrible division is the NFC East good division.
I think it's my turn.
What do you got, Skip?
This is the most baffling phenomenon in all of pro football. Dak Prescott has become the biggest lightning rod for criticism of any quarterback in the league, including Blake Bortles, who's now sort of out of sight.
Yeah, he's outside of mind. Nobody cares about Blake.
And what has happened is that a lot of critics dug in early, and they just didn't like the way he played quarterback. And they weren't. They didn't buy in early, so they're not going to buy in late. And what happens is Dak can make one off-target throw, and it feels to me like critics just leap on that throw and say, see, I told you he couldn't throw. Mm-hmm. See, I told you he was inaccurate. Now, back to Troy. I'm not lumping Troy into this because, look, is Dak ever going to be as accurate as Troy Aikman was?
No,
because who is? Yeah. I covered Troy Aikman. He was as deadly accurate as any quarterback who's ever played the position.
Right.
That you can go, you can break down all the rest of it, but on just pure raw dart throwing accuracy, this guy was it. So he knows accuracy. Is Dak ever going to be the most accurate thrower in pro? He is not. Can he win you football games? You better believe he can.
But give Dak some credit now, Skip. Troy was throwing from one platform, the pocket. Troy wasn't throwing on the move, rolling right or left, because if he had, we'd see that accuracy take a dip. Troy Aikman threw from one platform, that 8x9.
And again.
So be fair. I'll be fair to Dak on that.
Thank you. And by the way, you know how I feel about Michael Irvin. I think he's the greatest performing wide receiver ever. Mm-hmm. And nobody would I want to throw it to more on 3rd and 8 than 88.
Right.
Because that guy would just get, now it might be by hook or crook, he might push off, but he got open and Troy trusted him and would throw him darts because he knew that Michael would go fight for it.
Yes.
And when he had Novacek at tight end, it was just almost unfair what he could do. Okay. Yep. Now, let's look at Dak's body of work. Let's look at the first 2 years. That's a big body of work. Mm-hmm. You cannot finish 3rd in QBR in pro football after leading it much of your rookie year until the very last game, and then 4th in QBR his whole second year. You can't do it without being somewhat accurate.
Yes.
You can't be inaccurate and put up those numbers. You can tear apart QBR all you want, but if you're just flat out inaccurate, you're not going to be 3rd and 4th. So let's look at those 3 games he played. Big stage games against the greatest thrower of the football ever, says you. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you just beauty pageant throwing in a vacuum. Nobody can throw it better than Aaron Rodgers, although Marino was right in that ballpark somewhere, right? So let's look at those 3 games. Dak completed in those 3 games 63%, 67%, and 69% against Aaron Rodgers. And the 63 was in a playoff game. That's about as big stage as you can get. That was a big audience that day, right?
Right.
And that in that game, he throws, Dak did, for 302 and three touchdowns. And he brought them back from 21 to 3 down. So he's up against it all the way to 31 all. You can't be inaccurate. You can't throw. If you can't throw, you can't do that game. You can't pull that one off. Right? That you can't have an aberration. You can't just get lucky and throw for 302 yards against Aaron Rodgers. And previous to in that same year, he went up to Lambeau and just completely outplayed him, threw for 247 and three touchdowns. And then last year, it was at Jerry World against Aaron Rodgers, he throws for 251 and three more touchdowns and had a QBR of 97 in that game. So in three games against Aaron Rodgers, Dak Prescott is 9 touchdowns to 3 interceptions. Aaron is 6 touchdowns to 2 interceptions. But still, what I'm saying is, and Aaron won 2 out of 3 right. because the 2 long field goals beat Dak in the playoff game. Right. Okay? But you can't throw. You see what I mean? If you can't throw, you can't play those games.
No, because I don't think anybody's saying that he can't throw. I think they're saying that he could be more accurate. He could be, and he should be more accurate given the circumstances with Zeke in his backfield.
Okay, this year, has he started holding the ball much longer than
Absolutely.
Usual? He has. I give you that. And I've called it not his Achilles heel, it's an Achilles feel, where he's not anticipating quickly enough, except on the biggest throws of the game that they had to win against Tampa. They didn't have to win it, but the game that closed the deal in the NFC East against Tampa. The shot that he threw on 3rd and 12 to Michael Gallup, I don't know if we have that, but that's decided, I'm going to do this.
Right.
He knew right away, I'm going to throw it to him. And he was really doubled on, it was a cover two, but he had 2 defenders within, earshot anyway. And that's a big-time NFL football throw, right?
Well, Skip, the way I look at it, the reason Troy was so accurate, and a lot of it had to do with Emmett. So you had to put that 8th guy down to stop Emmett, and so now you're throwing a one-on-one coverage. Well, Dak has that same luxury. He has Zeke in his backfield. So he should be throwing into one-on-one coverage. And what Troy is saying, what Jimmy is saying, is that his accuracy, his completion percentage should be higher if he attempted to throw the ball down the field.
Okay, so let's be fair about the circumstances this year. Dak Prescott played 8 games with no Amari Cooper. And even by your own admission, he's got no tight end to throw to of any note.
Right?
Yeah. And he really didn't have any wideout who could separate.
Right.
So that's a hard year. That's 8 games where you're just barely keeping your head above water until Amari came. And it was the first game that was that Monday night debacle against Tennessee. But then they took off because they went to Philadelphia. And Dak played beautifully in that game. He completed 72% of his passes at Philly and threw for 270, and that was a game you just have to win.
Right.
I thought he was big time in that game. And then against Philly at home, he throws for a franchise record 455 yards. If you can't throw, you can't
ain't
do
no
that.
Ain't no franchise record. Tony Romo threw for 507.
Oh, that's right. What was I thinking?
Second. Most.
But again, fourth quarter and overtime, 17 of 20 for 243 and 3 touchdowns just in the fourth quarter and overtime. If you can't throw, you can't do that, right?
Skip, and I will say this, and I've always felt this way. If you believe Dak is your guy and you believe he can take you where you wanted to be, you can't just be a running team. Go get him some weapons like all the other teams have done for their young quarterbacks. You look at what the Rams did for Goff. They went and got him a Brandon Cooks. They brought him a Robert Woods. You look at Trubisky, they brought him weapons. You look at Carson Wentz, they given him weapons. So if you believe Dak is that guy, they should have given him weapons earlier on.
Right.
But he still has Zeke back there, Skip.
He does.
So he should be throwing into easy coverages.
Okay, the reason he holds the ball is he wants to make the play to win the, in the moment.
Okay.
Deshaun is the same way. They're the same guy at heart.
Right.
They just play it differently because Deshaun is much more mobile than Dak is.
Yes.
Dak can escape, though, and he trusts that sometimes he can go Roethlisberger and just tear away from a sack and run with the ball.
Right.
And he holds it, and he holds it, and it's to a fault. And it's gotten worse this year because he hasn't had people who could separate.
Right.
Well, now that he's got Amari, it's starting to look a little better to me. But what happens, Troy brought it up during the game, the Tampa Bay game, Dak will throw one in the dirt, which he does. Aaron Rodgers throws him in the dirt occasionally. And Troy brought it back up. I don't know about his I'm just paraphrasing how he said it. But I don't know. I'm not sure about his accuracy. Well, I get that. But then for the game, he's 20 of 25. Are they check down Alex kind of throws?
Yeah.
Some of them are. But 20 of 25 is still pretty good for 161 yards. He made all the key little throws. The one out of the end zone when they were in jail. 3rd and 12 from the 2. He hits Cole Beasley. And it was a dart. It was a Troy Aikman moment. memorial throw. Sure. And I'm saying he is capable of that. So my takeaway on this is there's way more good to Dak than bad to Dak, but I give you the bad. But the good far outweighs the bad.
Okay.
And he is, as Troy concluded, a work in progress.
Okay.
But it's a pretty good work so yeah. far.
Well, and coming up later in the show, we'll talk about how the Cowboys should handle that game against the Giants.
Mm.
We also have Michael Rappaport here, so
uh-oh.
I'm sure he'll have plenty to say about the Cowboys.
No mercy.
Tom Brady, he has not looked like himself lately. On Sunday, he threw two interceptions, and there's been speculation that Brady has been dealing with a knee injury. After the game on Sunday, he said, quote, "I'm not injured. I feel 100%. But then on Monday, he was asked about it on WEEI radio, and Brady said, quote, "I'm not getting into specifics of injuries. Nothing benefits me talking about injuries. Everyone has little bumps and bruises." So, Shannon, do you believe Brady is hurt?
No. He's 41. And people are looking for an excuse to explain his bad play.
Uh-huh. So that's how you're going to swing this. Okay.
I said it two months ago. I said Tom Brady doesn't look the same. Oh, he's fine. Oh, look at that performance that he had against this team. Oh, yeah, the greats can summon up a performance here and there. But if you watch Tom Brady and you look at and you watch him and you watched him over the course of his career, he doesn't look the same. But that's okay. He's 41. And Skip, I say it again. Now, Jenny, I don't really like to pull video footage. I really don't.
No.
Because I would like to think that that the people that's watching me at home, they're going to trust what I have to say. But sometimes Skip Bayless is trying to corrupt me and make people think I don't know what I'm talking about. So sometimes I have to go back and ask the DJ to drop a track here and there. But we're going to look at Tom Brady, and he's going to make some throws. And you tell me if Tom Brady is not gun shy. Now, you see him at Pittsburgh right here. This is the one that, look, you tell me Tom Brady's, look at this. He stepped into that one.
That didn't look gunshot.
No. But look at this. Oh, what happened right there?
He's trying to fake the defense out with a no look. It's the last play of the game.
It's
desperation.
No. Pat Mahomes do no look.
Oh.
He can't do that.
Well,
but look at this
Brady's
right here.
Trying
look
to
at
show
this.
You no look.
Woo! Okay, come on, Skip.
Let's cherry pick his worst throws of the year.
I'm Skip. No.
I like that. That's all good, Shannon.
Skip.
Way to go.
We saw Nick Foles backed up in his end zone on third down. Take a shot to the chest from Jadeveon Clowney. We saw Drew
Brees. Nick Foles better than Carson Wentz, for sure. Yeah. Thank you for bringing that up.
That.
I appreciate
don't
it.
Do that. We saw Drew Brees on third down. Take a shot to the chops. Now, we see Tom Brady starting to turn away from those, Skip. He's starting to, hey, do that thing.
Who wouldn't? Who wouldn't? How do you survive to 41 in this league? Well, by standing up, taking shots in the chops?
Oh, Skip. But
you
Skip. As you start to age, you start to lose your stomach to take those kinds of hits.
Well, he's and taking a lot of hits.
No, don't do that, Skip. You see, what happens is what you're trying to do, we're trying to look for an excuse. And Tom Brady, now you told me LeBron came out there with a soft cast on his hand trying to make excuses. Now Tom Brady's playing poorly. Eight touchdowns in his last eight games. Now we're looking for an excuse. Well, why hasn't Tom Brady played better? The fact of the matter is he's old. The fact of the matter is it's coming up late in the season and your body just doesn't respond like it once did. That's okay. But I'm not going to let these people try to make excuses for Tom Brady's poor play.
Really?
Yeah, they're winning. But don't sit here and talk about Tom Brady's playing great because he's not. And he's 41, and I wouldn't be surprised. The end is sooner than you think.
Like now?
The end is sooner.
Would you like
than
to bet three cases on that he doesn't play next year? Will you bet three he doesn't play?
I'm saying the end
would
is
you,
sooner.
Would you take that bet
Skip
right
Bayless.
Now?
Skip Bayless.
I'll take that bet right now.
Hey.
Tom Brady doesn't play for three cases, you say.
Father Time.
Would you do it?
Father Time.
You said the end is closer than you think.
Jenny.
What?
I just heard.
Put your do where your mouth is.
Hold on, Skip. Let me finish.
I want to know where you're going
okay,
with
that. I will.
You can't just do cryptic little clues.
This is what I heard.
Yep.
That Father Time bought the house next door to Tom Brady.
Really?
He ain't living on it. I ain't say he living in the neighborhood. He purchased the home next to Tom Brady. Now, I heard in a few days he's going to go ask to borrow a cup of sugar.
Really?
Oh, yeah, that's what I heard old Father Time was knocking the door. Tom, do you have some sugar?
You sound like it's the Grim Reaper who lives next door, right?
No, Skip.
Yeah.
But you know, you see what you see.
Ha. So I thought you were going to take this the other way around and use it against Tom Brady to say, see, he's falling apart at age 41. Because whoever's reporting this, and I don't even know where it came from, because it sort of
he's making excuses.
Yeah,
go ahead.
But a sprained MCL? How would you know the specifics of the three ligaments? It's the MCL, right? I don't know. I don't get it. Because I haven't heard that all year.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought you would say, well, there it is. And I was going to tell you, there it isn't. Because I haven't heard a peep about this all year. Mm-hmm. And especially I haven't heard a peep about it from number 12 in Foxborough.
Exactly.
What I love the most about Tom Brady, he will give you nothing because he doesn't make excuses. He is 100%. That's what he said. I am 100%. And I don't talk about injuries because nobody wants to hear about them.
Sure don't.
Shannon Sharp doesn't want to hear about them, right?
Nope.
When Shannon Sharp played, nobody wanted to hear about you had this and that and you had to get a shot for this and that. Nobody cares.
They saw 84 and Sharp on the field.
That's it.
100%.
So 12 is going to be on the field, I think. I'm going to knock on wood for his sake, against the New York Jets, a game they need to win to cinch the 2 seed.
True.
And if Tom Brady wins the 2 seed in spite of the worst defense Bill Belichick has ever put on the field in Foxborough, Massachusetts, it just is. I can just show you the stats. This is the worst defense Tom Brady has had to overcome in his NFL life.
Is this the worst Tom Brady has played since Tom Brady became Tom Brady?
Let's take a look at that. 2 weeks ago, he threw for the most yards he's thrown for all year at Miami. That's his personal house of horrors, their house of horrors. Tom Brady had lost 5 of his last 6 games at Miami. And he goes down there, because they have to go from the cold to the drippy, humid heat.
True.
And he throws for 358 yards, 3 touchdowns, and no interceptions. Mm-hmm. An 88 QBR on a scale of 0 to 100. And he puts them in position to close the deal. And they could have been the 1 seed. They would be the 1 seed right now if Bill Belichick doesn't put Rob Gronkowski on the field to stop a quote-unquote Hail Mary on the final play that turned into the Miami Miracle. That was the single most shocking event in the whole season. There's nothing more shocking than the Patriots and Belichick blow a lead on the final play of the game from how far was it, 80 yard, whatever it was, 70.
Well, he thought it was going to be an 80-yard Hail Mary.
Yeah, 80-yard Hail Mary.
I think it ended up being like 65 yards.
So that was Tom's best game. And the great Dan Fouts, a fellow Hall of Famer of yours, Dan Fouts said during the game he took on the critics who say that Tom has lost arm strength, and it was after he'd thrown this rocket shot to Julian Edelman. Do you remember this?
No, that was the one he threw to Cordell Patterson. He threw the seam.
I think it was another one to Edelman, though, that he threw. Yeah, it's to Edelman. This is the one he talked about. He just said, do you see any loss of arm strength there? Because Dan Fouts said, I don't see any loss of arm strength or velocity. I don't either. Okay, so let's just quickly run through what he's done. Against Andrew Luck this year, Tom Brady threw for 341 yards and 3 touchdowns. Against Patrick Mahomes, he threw for 340 yards and a touchdown, including 182 in the fourth quarter. Against the immortal Kirk Cousins, now Jenny's Viking. You love Kirk Cousins, don't you? Yeah, not
maybe,
really.
I don't know if
against Kirk Cousins, Tom Brady threw for 311 yards and completed 75% of his passes. Against the immortal Aaron Rodgers, the greatest thrower of the football ever, Tom Brady threw for 294 and a touchdown and won that game. He won all those games against all those big-time quarterbacks that you right now would say are all better than Tom Brady. And he has them in position to be the 2 seed, that means get a bye with a home game to play only one road game that might or might not happen because this AFC is completely up for grabs.
You notice what I noticed? When you mentioned all that, it better be Cousins. You didn't mention anything about the defense. Not one time did you say that defense was terrible.
Well, it is terrible. How did they do that?
You see what you do?
Overcome.
You see what you did? See, you nitpicked that game. Now you just got on. You got on to some guys that say when Dak throws the ball is incomplete. You say his critics rush to see. Incomplete.
See?
You see what you did with Tom Brady? You rushed to his defense for that Miami game. He threw for the most yards, but you didn't mention anything about Buffalo. You didn't mention anything about. You didn't mention anything about Detroit. You didn't mention anything about
which Buffalo.
The Buffalo Bills on Sunday.
Well, the one at Buffalo, he threw for 340.
But you didn't mention Tennessee.
Okay, what did they do Sunday? What did they decide?
I don't know. What did they do?
Okay, let's look at what – you want to talk about degree of difficulty? Does he have Brandon Cooks? Does he have Danny Amendola? Does he have Malcolm Mitchell? Those guys are gone. Did Eric Decker make the team? Nope, he did not.
Hold on, Skip.
I'm just saying. Did Jordan Matthews make the team? He did not.
Hold on.
Cut.
Okay, did he have Brandon Cooks, Amendola? Did he have any of those guys when he threw for 350 against Miami?
We're talking. The point is, I don't know how he did it.
Oh!
He did have Josh Gordon, who is no more. They took a shot. History screamed he wouldn't last, and he didn't last. Rob Gronkowski has become a liability. I never thought I would say that. Well, the one interception that Tom threw, it's right through his hand.
It happens. Yeah, he didn't get his head around fast enough.
Come on, so he throws in three balls in this game against Buffalo at home, and Gronk catches how many? That's the guy that you said is on course. Remember, that was our first year on Undisputed. Uh-huh. You said that he's better than you, right?
Yeah, he had the potential. Okay? But
you want to talk about falling off the cliff? Fell off the cliff.
But, Skip, you know the injuries. Okay. That was the thing. When he stays healthy, he's dominant.
Okay.
But the problem is his ability to stay on the field.
Okay, so against Buffalo, they're looking at, I'm sure Josh McDaniels said, we got nobody to throw to except Julian, who's 32 years old now, coming off major knee reconstruction. So what are we going to do? Let's run it against Buffalo, who had the best pass defense in pro football statistically. So they ran for 273, which is their most in the last 10 years.
But what does that have to do with that 170 and those interceptions? Mm-hmm. So you run it that well, you should be able to just pick teams apart.
Well, you don't need to.
Oh, so you
when he got yanked at the end of the game, they're up 24-6.
Yeah, because Coach
24-6.
Because Coach Belichick didn't want to see him throw
any more
interceptions.
No, he wanted to show him up.
Don't do that, Skip. I'm not going to let you keep taking shots at Coach Belichick.
Well, that man deserves
better as a five-time Super Bowl winning head coach.
Tom Brady deserved better than the Miami Miracle.
Everything.
That cost them the one seed. You realize that play right now. Tom Brady would be sitting pretty in the catbird seat.
Tom Brady's 41-year-old body has cost them the one seed.
Oh, I don't think so.
I think so.
Well, if they won the Miami game, where would they be?
Or if they won the Jacksonville game, or they've won the Detroit game,
Let's go late in the year. If they win the Miami game just 2 weeks ago, what happens?
They're
the one seed because they beat Kansas City.
But hold on. What if Kansas City doesn't go lay an egg? So every team can say that they have won this.
All I'm saying is Tom Brady, washed up at age 41, had them in position in Miami to be the one seed.
Mm-hmm. What we do know is they can clinch the first round bye if they win against the Jets. Mm. So maybe the extra rest for the 41-year-old.
You love Sam Darnold, right?
41, Skip. Yeah.
Okay, let's stay in New England. Did Kyrie Irving prove he is the most clutch player in the NBA yesterday? We'll discuss what we saw in Boston next. No mercy. The Sixers and Celtics played a thriller in Boston yesterday. Philly led by as many as 7 in the fourth quarter. But then Kyrie Irving took over. He hit the game-tying shot late in the fourth and two huge threes in overtime, and the Celtics got the win. He finished with 40 points. So, Skip, what did yesterday tell you about Kyrie?
Did you see that, LeShannon?
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah. So, my man Kyrie reminded the world once again that inch for inch, he is the best clutch closer in all of basketball. And I know the GMs in the offseason survey voted runaway. Mm. Kevin Durant, the guy they wanted with the ball in his hands to take the last second shot. Mm-hmm. That's in large part because Kevin is about 7 feet tall with like 8 foot wingspan, and he can shoot threes from 30 feet, right?
And he can shoot over anybody.
He can shoot over anybody. So Kyrie, at 6 feet, 3 inches tall, did remind us once again that he's the opposite of LeBron James.
Oh, my goodness.
His ex-teammate. Because the bigger the stage, the bigger the moment, the clutcher he gets. And again, do I need to remind everybody about Christmas Day of 2 years ago? If we could remind everyone how that looked 2 years ago. Oh, that's the one over Jimmy. Here it is. This is in Cleveland over Klay Thompson. Klay's all over him. Ball game. Remember that?
Yeah.
I think you won something from me that day, didn't you? Or maybe Rob Parker won.
If you don't mind me asking, who iced the game from the free throw line?
I don't remember that.
You do, Skip.
That was the shot right there. That ended the game.
So the free throw. You know what, Skip?
Can we go back to the finals game 7 of 2016 when the teams are just trading misses down the stretch?
Yeah.
Finally, Kyrie said, "Give me the ball and get out of my way and watch that." Game over.
Who iced the game from the free throw last game?
I don't remember anything about iced. The shot of shots was made by Kyrie. back-to-back. And so yesterday, the Celtics need a basket with 20 seconds left to force overtime. So this is do or die for 6'3" Kyrie on guarded by 6'8" Jimmy Butler. So Kyrie had to dribble, and work. And finally, he created a little sliver of daylight, and he barely got the shot away. And it landed on the front of the rim just softly enough to creep over, and the game went to overtime. That's over 6'8" Jimmy Butler. And then in overtime, boom, boom, 3-3, game over. That's Kyrie, because on those stages, he just is unbeatable when he gets in that kind of a flow on that kind of a stage. Because seriously, I don't think Philly could play a much better road game on a big stage than they played yesterday. And Embiid was tremendous. Mm-hmm. He was 34-16. I thought they all played very well. But down the stretch, it was just too much Kyrie. And I still say LeBron misses Kyrie. I think he's missed him this year because they've had 8 chances to close games with the Lakers, including Sunday night against Memphis. That was 91 all with like 8 minutes to go. You got to close it.
What about all those games that Boston was losing down the stretch? Well, Kyrie wasn't closing?
No, I think he's actually shooting 41% from three, and it took him a while to get his legs underneath him. Remember, this would have happened last year, but he tore his knee up.
But you remember they called a team meeting. Kyrie called a team meeting. Mm-hmm.
And so they've been really good since
then. Jenny, have you ever heard of someone calling a team meeting when teams are winning? I've never heard say, you know what, guys? We're going on a 10-game win streak. Or we won 15 straight. Let's have a team meeting to air some laundry.
Well, they've had to switch the rotation up. And what did I tell you from the start? I'm not a Gordon Hayward fan. And they finally got him out of the starting lineup because he doesn't belong in it.
Yeah.
He's not better than Jason Tatum, really.
Here's the thing. Skip, he's special. But that's nothing new. We know what Kyrie Irving represents. He has the best handles that I've seen. I've been following the NBA for 40-plus years. Mm-hmm. He has the best handles I've ever seen. He can finish at the rim with either hand on either side of the basket. And once he gets it going, he got it going early. 16 in the first quarter, 23 in the first half. So he got it going early. And once he gets it going, it doesn't matter who's in front of him because he doesn't see them. All he sees is the basket. And once he sees – all he sees is the basket, the ball's going in.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do nothing with him once he gets it going like that. Because like he said, he can put anybody on skates. And so now – and he was giving an interview the other day. He says, I'm not worried about me getting my shot off or going one-on-one with someone. I can do that against anybody. The question is, how do I do that and also get my teammates involved? But, Skip, look, he's special. Yeah, he can finish. He's hit big shots. But are we going to forget what LeBron James did in game 5, 6, and 7? Mm. He goes 41-41, triple-dub. Mm. They win. Mm. Are we going to forget last year?
I'm just talking about clutch closing. Okay, you got to close the deal. Somebody's got to close for you.
Let me ask you a question. So what about that game winning against Toronto? Would that be considered closing? What about that game winning against Indy? Now, I love how when he hit regular season shot, you like that means nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this was a regular season shot. Mm-hmm. LeBron did that very shot over Jimmy Butler last year. With a triple-double. Mm-hmm. Remember, 17 assists with no turnovers. He did that. You're like, you poo-pooed it.
Mm-hmm.
Then he follows it up with 2 game winners in the playoffs,
mm-hmm.
and you poo-pooed it. Now you want to heap a bouquet of roses at Kyrie? I'm not trying to minimize what Kyrie's done.
I'm not trying to minimize what LeBron did last year, but again, he had a rookie on him as he dribbled full court, and then he shot it. He didn't mean to shoot it off the glass.
Yes, he did. Remember that? Yes, he did.
He tipped off the glass, didn't mean to tip it off the glass.
Yes, he did, Skip.
So every once in a while, what's that about the blind squirrel? He finds
it. Don't mean nothing. He ain't blind. That squirrel can see.
Really?
Yeah.
The one I give you is the one he made over Jimmy Butler to win that game against the
What about Indy?
Indy was he goaltended. He goaltended.
No, he did not.
Yes, he did.
No, Skip, don't do that.
The Pacers are all looking at each other like, you're not going to call that?
Well, hold on. But the last 2-minute report also said that Thad Young stepped out of bounds.
Okay.
And it should have been Cleveland's ball.
We're only talking about that sequence. And the Pacers are all looking around like, what just happened? He just goaltended Oladipo. And it should have been, that was it right there, right?
No, play on.
Yeah.
Play on.
Play on. And play so they're on. Looking around. And,
why
are
you
and
looking around,
LeBron bro? Makes
the
shot.
The officials made a call.
And
they're
the
not
going
to change it.
Don't make me start getting into LeBron's unclutchness statistically over his career because that was his 16th year, and he finally made that shot over Jimmy Butler, and I said, way to go.
He made a bunch of them.
But those are the ones that he's good at because he's got a safety net. You know, you can make those when the game's tied. You just make it.
Hold on.
Just make it.
times.
You know, if you miss, everybody's going to say, well, that's just LeBron. And he knows he's going to get protected.
So what was the safety net with Kyrie? Because the game was tied. If you miss, you're like, oh, well.
Hmm. Yeah.
It wasn't like you.
There was no safety net yesterday with 20 seconds left.
Talking about yesterday. But you keep harking back to that final.
I thought this topic was about yesterday.
But why you talk about game 7 then?
Well.
You showed it.
Well, nobody could make a shot until he made that one.
And then you showed 2 years ago, Cribble.
Mm-hmm.
Why you do that?
It was a good one.
I'm talking about LeBron.
Yeah.
LeBron went 41-41 triple-dub. Last year, 2 game winners. And he had a walk-off against Jimmy Butler in the regular season.
Yeah, I give you that one. That was really big.
So you're not going to give me the one that he had 40 points against Indy.
Mm.
You're not going to give me the one he had 38.
I mean, it was Indiana. Remember, what saved him against Indiana was Kevin Love because LeBron had one of his mysterious cramps.
Oh, my
Iron God. Man. How can Iron Man cramp? He always has weird cramps at weird moments. It's always in the fourth quarter with the game tight.
Well, if he didn't go in that.
I can't go. And he walked all the way to the locker room and they said it was a cramp. I don't know what it was. And he stayed for 7 clock minutes all the way through the end of the third quarter and into the fourth. And what did Kevin Love do in his absence? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
That was big time. Kevin Love made 2 threes.
What about
when he came back, they were up, what, 8?
What about what about those 38 points that he had to get them there? Without that 38, what is Kevin Love? Because Kevin Love had done nothing until that point. Where was Kevin Love?
Well, he saved him.
Where was
Kevin Love? That was the saving moment of last year.
Just so I'm hearing you correctly.
Yeah.
So LeBron James is the only great player that's not allowed to have teammates that do their job.
Well, he's the only great player who cramps like every big game. Remember the one game 1 at San Antonio?
Yeah, because they were playing in the hemisphere.
Oh, they weren't playing in the hemisphere.
Oh, you sure?
I'm sure.
Oh, so the new arena got air conditioning because I couldn't tell.
Yeah.
A brand new arena and the air conditioning going out.
Yeah.
Huh? Where did you do that at?
Huh.
What other building? In the last 10 years, name the other building that the AC gone out in the NBA Finals.
Mm. They said it was the electric company's fault.
Who is they?
Yeah.
So I'm going to put foots in they when I catch them.
Did any other player on the floor cramp? I forget. I think like 20 players played in
does
the fourth
any
quarter.
Other player
nobody else cramped except the greatest
named
player.
Named a player that's ever had the responsibility.
Well, I think it overwhelmed him. I think his shoulders buckled.
You know what, Skip? He cramped and still put up 30. He cramped at what he had, 34? And then he came back in game 2 and put foots in him.
He did, and then what happened?
They shot him off the court.
They shot him off the court. They lost in 5 games.
The San Antonio
by
Spurs.
By a record margin.
The San Antonio Spurs.
He never recovered from his cramp.
Shot the Miami Heat. This wasn't the Spurs against LeBron, although you like to make it seem that way. And even though LeBron averaged 28-7-7.
Yeah, but what did LeBron do after that finals? He looked at Dwayne and said, you're washed up.
Okay.
You can't help me enough. I'm out. I'm going back home.
And what did he do?
Cramping talk.
Kyrie won him a ring.
You know what, Skip?
Kyrie won him a ring.
We're sticking with LeBron, but he was actually pretty pissed off at Kevin Durant yesterday.
Say that word?
Yeah.
Didn't he just?
I mean, come on, guys.
Oh, hood Jenny. You see Jenny with them Concords on in the hood.
Pissed off. I don't think that's that serious, but he was, and we'll tell you what was going on with Rob Parker next. No mercy. Well, before the Lakers blowout win against the Warriors last night, LeBron was asked by ESPN about Kevin Durant's comments earlier this month that there's a, quote, toxic environment around LeBron. He said KD called him to apologize and clear the air. LeBron also said this: I was a little pissed off when I first heard it, to be honest. I didn't know where it stemmed from, so I was pissed. My family was pissed and my friends were pissed. We just didn't know why at this point and time in the season my name or what I've done in my career was kind of talked about like that. I don't feel like it's ever been toxic around me. And when I hear toxic, I automatically thought toxic is like you don't want to be around that because it's almost like a fatal disease. We are joined by Rob Parker.
I'm not a fatal disease. Woo. Good morning.
Nope. Boy, that was quite the quote. Shannon, I'm going to start with you.
Yes.
What did you take from LeBron's response
to that?
It
could have been Shannon's response.
That was a Freudian slip. That was right. You did it right, Jenny. You did it right.
He brought it up. I mean, he had that well thought out.
Yes.
So Shannon, what's your response to what LeBron said?
He should have been upset. I think he views KD as a friend. They're not just friendly. Yeah. They are friends, Skip. They work out. They talk occasionally. Mm-hmm. We saw the interview that they had in the back. I think it was All-Star Weekend they had in the back of the lift. I think LeBron views KD as a friend. KD views LeBron as a friend. Mm-hmm. And when you hear the term toxic. Now, Skip, KD could have said LeBron at the beginning paragraph, and then 17, 18 paragraphs later, used the word toxic, and somehow they would have bridged them together. But because he used LeBron and toxic so close in proximity, you automatically knew. And LeBron is like, hold on, wait a minute, bro. That's a bad connotation, LeBron and toxicity. That don't go together. Nah, it's not like that. And LeBron also said, you know, KD called, he apologized, and LeBron said, all's forgiven. Considering, Skip, I don't care what LeBron, what KD said. If you go back and play for Dan Gilbert, you should be able to forgive anybody for anything.
That's a good point. Very good point.
And I believe, and LeBron made it crystal clear, where I am in my life as a man, as a husband, as a father, things don't bother me anymore like they used to. People would say things and it would bother me, but not anymore. I have too much happiness. I have too much going on.
He said
But I knew once KD said it, coming from KD, it would bother LeBron as opposed to coming from someone else in the NBA that LeBron James does not view as a friend. So that's why it hurts. And normally when we say things, Skip, and it comes from someone, or we hear things said about us, and it comes from someone that we know, it carries a little bit more weight. I've said things on air and about Ray, and Ray is a good friend of mine, and it hurt Ray more coming from me.
True.
Because I'm glad you brought that up, because I was going to bring that up.
Were you really?
I really was. Because it happens sometimes where somebody you care about says something and it hurts you.
Yes.
So,
because you know why it hurts so much, Skip? Because we're closest to you. LeBron views KD as a friend. One of his close, not like Melo, not like Chris Paul, not like D-Wade, but he's friends with him. And that was the last thing that he would expect come out of KD's mouth to say toxic and LeBron James. But I'm glad KD picked up the phone. KD was like, I said what I said, I'm good with it. I'm glad he picked up the phone, explained it to LeBron. LeBron was okay with his explanation. They moved on. I'm glad LeBron was able to move on. Because like he said, where I am in my life, I got too much going on happiness. I saw his net worth, $765 million. What you upset about?
Yeah, but he did say that KD told him in this phone conversation that the story took a twist.
Yes.
Meaning out of context.
Thank you, Skip.
The classic, it was out of context.
I said this, and the report, we always get blamed as reporters that it kind of twists. No, that's a direct quote. That's what you said. We didn't.
But he also says, Rob Parker.
No, what?
It's not LeBron's fault. It's you.
No, it
and
ain't.
And you.
No, and he added that part. But what he talked about, and here's what. In that interview when LeBron goes, I don't know where this is coming from. Well, LeBron, let me tell you where it's coming from.
Where is it coming from?
Kyrie Irving said, I want out of here.
He did.
I will have surgery and not play rather than play with LeBron.
He said
That's what he said, Shannon. Yep. So that's where the toxic, you want to talk about a toxic situation where you just want out regardless? That was Kyrie Irving. Also, when you talk about toxic with a capital T, Kevin Love was quoted as saying, there were dark times being around LeBron. That came out as well. So when you talk about why the word toxic was used, it's because of these reasons. And every big free agent who becomes available, when they say about going to L.A. and playing with LeBron, Kawhi Leonard's camp. Nah, we're not interested in that. Jimmy Butler came out with a list. Let me see. He wanted to come to L.A. Clippers. Knicks, Nets, no LeBron. So now when you start to look at all these guys, Paul George, for 2 years talked about coming home to L.A. And playing. LeBron gets there. Oh, this is even better. LeBron's there. Wait a minute. No, I'm staying at OKC. I'm going to stay with Westbrook, who everybody says nobody wants to play with. That's where he wound up staying rather than coming home to L.A.
Why?
So that's toxic. So can you at least acknowledge, and I don't know, Rachel Nichols, what the rest of the questions were, what they cut out or whatever. But if I was interviewing him and he said, I don't know where this is coming, the toxic thing, I would have just said, well, Kyrie didn't want to play with you anymore. And you even said you wanted him to stay and he still wanted to leave. So wouldn't that be a reason to call something a situation toxic?
Well, let's be fair. Paul George went to Russell because if they don't win, who's getting blamed? Paul George or Russell?
Thank you. That's exactly why those guys don't
want to come to
LeBron. Because they know, as Kevin called them, the fanboy media around LeBron, the apologists, the defenders, they're going to point the finger at the sidekick, the number two star. It's your fault.
Well,
LeBron never fails.
If you score 2 points in a playoff game, right. Yeah, it's going to be your fault, right. Paul George, like you did in Utah. It's your fault, Paul George.
By the way, Paul George is playing really well.
Right? But he didn't play great.
Play well last year in the playoffs.
He did not play well. So, everything I just read about this LeBron-KD phone call is exactly why LeBron will never be Michael Jordan. Because we read all the quotes. You read all the PO'd quotes.
True.
Sure, they were PO'd. The family was mad. Everybody in LeBron's camp was mad about this quote because that was some harsh truth that Kevin Durant spat out about LeBron James. And I don't care what you say, it came from the bottom of his heart. And it wasn't taken out of context. It was taken straight from the lips of Kevin Durant because he was speaking the truth as the rest of the NBA sees what's happening around LeBron when you play with him. So to me, that bridge should have been burned to the ground. And this is, again, we're talking about playing professional basketball here. It is cutthroat. We're talking about the highest level of competition. Yeah. The bridge should have been burned. Shannon Sharpe's bridge to that friend would have been burned on a quote like that, right?
No, I mean,
if you were still playing?
No, if you were still playing against each other?
Yeah, if you're rivals, yeah, that's different. They are arch rivals, right?
Yeah.
The odds are they're going to play at the highest level again, maybe in the Western Conference Finals, somewhere along the trail. They're going to meet again. And Kevin got the best of him. And I know Kevin had a better team around him, but Kevin got the best of him as the MVP of the last two finals. And 2 years ago, shot the shot of shots in the finals right in his face in game three in his house in Cleveland. So bridge should be burned. And this is what I love and don't love about LeBron. He's just too nice a guy. And he wants to be friends with LeBron in part. LeBron wants to be friends with Kevin Durant in part because he fears him. He wants to be close.
Kevin has never been a better player than LeBron.
But Draymond got away with calling LeBron the B word to his face during a game. And the next thing I know, they're business partners that offense, that offseason.
He called KD the same thing. Yeah. He called a teammate. Mm-hmm. Now, a phone might call you that. You get into a thing and you ready to square up on the phone. But ain't no teammate.
Well,
Draymond called his teammate that Ron Parker.
I know, he did.
They don't look like a team to me anymore. They look like they're coming apart.
If you don't mind me asking, was the situation between Magic Johnson and Paul Westhead, was that toxic? When Magic says, I refuse to play for you, I need to be a new head coach, Dr. Buss. Was that toxic? Ron?
Okay, but that wasn't split in the locker room.
No, I just asked you a simple question.
Wait,
toxic?
I'm going to answer that question.
Yes.
The whole locker room was behind young Magic to do that. They didn't like Paul Westhead either.
Man, run your title.
So it was – Magic won his Spurs that night. You know, like he became a made man because he went to Jerry Buss and just said, we're not going to play
gonna
for
pick,
this
Who are you going to pick, me or him?
So yeah. you don't think LeBron teammates are okay? Like, hold on, LeBron, you going to let this man say this when I get some call? Why Kevin Durant reach out? Kevin Durant didn't think he did anything wrong, why did you reach out?
Well, let me ask you this, Shannon. Yeah. Can you at least acknowledge with some of the things that we've talked about, would you call the Kyrie Irving, would you call that a toxic situation for a guy who won a championship with you, went to the finals, I don't know, at that point, what, four years in a row?
Three with Kyrie.
Okay, in a row, and you demand to be out, and you even threaten the organization that you'll have surgery rather than play with the best player on the planet. That's toxic.
Hey, kind of like Shaq and Kobe. They won 3 championships together.
But I'm asking you.
Was that toxic?
But was that toxic?
That got toxic.
I'm asking you, was that toxic? Would you call that toxic?
Kyrie felt in order for him to be the type of player that he wanted to be.
We saw him last night, too.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, we saw him last year, too. What?
He was hurt last year.
He was hurt. Tore his knee up.
What are you talking about, Shannon? Did you watch last night?
Did we watch the last time they went to the finals together? Did we watch Kyrie? When LeBron averaged a triple-double?
Kyrie made the shot of shots.
Oh, see,
they wouldn't even have the one championship.
Stop it, Rob. Stop it.
No, start it.
Okay.
Seriously, he won a ring for LeBron in Cleveland.
Let me ask you a question. If LeBron James does not go back to Cleveland, are we looking at Kyrie in the same light as we look at Kyrie now? Because there are a lot of guys that can play the game but don't win. And how do we look at him, Rob?
No, I get that. And I don't doubt that LeBron was a big reason as well, being with Kyrie. And Kyrie probably wouldn't have won a championship by himself.
Probably.
But I'll tell you this.
He'd been in the lottery.
But you don't know who was the player who would replace LeBron. You know what I mean? It's easy to say that.
They're the player that could replace LeBron.
No, I'm just saying.
Currently playing.
It could have been another player.
Here's my question. If, let's say, Charles Barkley had said this about Michael Jordan while they were playing against each other, they were arch rivals, and then Charles tried to call Michael just to apologize or put it in, say it was taken out of context, do you think Michael would have even accepted the phone call?
No.
I can tell you a big no.
Well,
Bridge would have been on fire.
Well, you know, Mike don't speak now because Charles criticized his GM style.
That's what I'm saying. But if they were players, the same thing would have applied.
But no,
I got a better one.
What?
When they froze Michael Jordan out of the All-Star game. Did he make them pay for that? Did he made Isaiah pay the ultimate price?
He did.
For that. Never accepted. They froze him out his rookie All-Star game.
They wouldn't pass him the ball.
And when they wouldn't pass him the ball.
So
what
happened? So the Olympics, I'll play, but he can't play.
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine?
That's dirty, Skip Bayless. Are you okay with that?
I'm great with it because it is cut. He is the ultimate assassin.
Yes.
LeBron is not. LeBron doesn't have any assassin in him at all.
No.
And he's a really nice guy.
Look here. One guy is John Wick. The other guy is James Bond. He's going to have a martini, have a nice lady. But at the end of the day, the bad guy going down.
You cannot put LeBron.
Oh, damn.
Wait.
Yeah.
You just crossed the line. You cannot put LeBron James in the same sentence with either James Bond or John Wick. Michael Jordan is John Wick plus James Bond. He is a combination of both of them.
No, LeBron.
We need like 10 more minutes for this discussion. We'll leave it for now. Rob, thank you for joining us today. No
mercy. Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then. Facts, sports, one of one.